الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class, we were discussing some benefits related to the narration of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, which is collected by Imam Muslim رحمه الله تعالى, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة, that whoever sets out on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will make easy for him by way of that a path to paradise. And we have been reading some benefits with regards to this narration by Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 795. He has a number of famous works with regards to the clarification of the proper creed and belief and methodology of Al-Islam, the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum, the way of As-Salaf, As-Salih, the pious and righteous predecessors, and likewise works clarifying the interpretation of the narrations and many benefits and rulings derived from therein. And he is well known from the scholars of Hadith and from Ahl Sunnah, rahimahullah ta'ala. From the most famous works that he has is his work in the explanation of the 40 Hadith of An-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, who died in the year 676. And actually they are 42 narrations. He mentioned that they're 40 rounding off. And Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he added 8 to those narrations, making them 50, and then explained all of them in this work here called Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, and it's from the best and most beneficial and concise, likewise, explanation of those 40 narrations along with those extra 8, making it 50. And so many great benefits are found in this particular work, and the people of knowledge after him have benefited greatly from this particular work and encourage the students of knowledge and the Muslims in general to benefit. So in our previous class, we were reading the portion where the author, he mentioned the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made the parable an example of the carriers of the sunnah and the people of knowledge like the stars in the sky. How the people in the earth, they're guided by the stars in the sky. Those who are traversing on land and on sea and on journeys and traveling and going to different places and distant lands, then the means for their finding their direction is by observing the stars and the movement of the stars and the direction of the stars in the sky. And in this manner, the people in the earth, on the land and the sea, they will be able to be guided and know the direction that they're heading. And know the direction that they're heading, and thus be able to reach their destination safely and in proper time. Safely and in proper time. So if something happens and the sky becomes unclear and the stars are not able to be identified or distinguished, or they are simply not present at all, then at this time the people who are seeking guidance and trying to find their way, they will be easily misled and lost. They'll easily be misled and lost. We have seen as well that this narration is weak. The chain of this narration is weak. So therefore the ascription of this narration, of this text, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not established, although the meaning of the text is correct and very beneficial. And likely sometimes the scholars of the Salaf and the scholars of the Hadith of the previous generations, they would mention issues in the religion and establish those issues with clear, authentic evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. And then after that, sometimes mention as well some other evidences from the Sunnah that maybe have weaknesses in the chain, not using them as evidence themselves to establish the position or the issue, but rather as supporting evidence or because of some particular benefit that might be found therein. Along with the fact that that narration, the meaning of that narration is correct and supported by a number of principles and general evidences in the religion about Islam. So this is not something blameworthy for the author here, for example, that he mentioned it in this manner. Because no doubt the meaning of the narration is beneficial, and he's only mentioning it here as an admonition and something to reflect and to ponder over after establishing the issues clearly with these texts that have proceeded from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And this is a well-known methodology. We have seen that by the author himself from the original work that we're studying, Al-Imam Al-Ajurri rahimahullah ta'ala, and a number of his works. And likewise those
after him from the scholars of Hadith and from the scholars of Al-Islam. So this is the issue here that we're discussing, the importance of the scholars and the status of the scholars and the people of knowledge and the importance of knowing them and benefiting from them. Knowing who they are and benefiting from them, this is from the greatest means of success in this life and from the means of learning. So the one who's going to set out on a path to seek knowledge, he's going to set out on a path to seek knowledge from the people of knowledge. So if one was misled with regards to that and he went to the wrong people who are not truly the people of knowledge, but they pretend to be the people of knowledge and the likes like this, then they will confuse him and mislead him. And like this is the way of deviation and from the footsteps of the devil, min khutuwati shaytan, to mislead the people away from the true people of knowledge and to make them think that others besides them are the people of knowledge and to find fault with the real scholars and to belittle them or to defame them. And this is from the very beginning of the affair. Whenever the Khawarij, they appeared against Ali radiallahu anhu and they split sides. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was sent over there to debate with them and to clarify their falsehood and to remove their doubts with certain knowledge. And the first thing that he mentioned to them is that I'm coming to you from the side of the companions and I don't see any of them over here with you. And I do not see any of them along with you. And I'm coming to you from the side of the people of knowledge. Of the people of knowledge. The companions in those days, they are the ulama. They are the people of knowledge. They are Ahl Sunnah. They are the people of sound understanding and upright guidance. And they're the ones carrying that. It was revealed in their time and they witnessed the revelation. So he's saying to them that now we don't find any of them with you. So this is how they deviated. They were misled and taken away from the people of knowledge. Someone came and spoke to them with the gift of gab and with eloquence and using the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, and so on and so forth until they split sides and they listen to this person besides them. And then they find fault with them and turn the people away from them. So this is a deviant methodology from the very beginning. From the very beginning, a believer should be aware of this and know this, the importance of knowing the scholars, honoring them and respecting them and seeking knowledge from them, the scholars and the students of the scholars. So Ibn Rajab, he says, وَمَا دَامَ الْعِلْمُ بَاقِيًا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَالنَّاسُ فِي هُدَى. So long as knowledge is remaining in the earth and the people, they will be upon guidance. وَبَقَاءُ الْعِلْمِ بَقَاءُ حَمَلَتِهِ. And the fact that the knowledge remains is by the carriers of the knowledge remaining. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ حَمَلَتُهُ وَمَنْ يَكُمُ بِهِ وَقَعَ النَّاسُ فِي الظَّلَالِ. So if the carriers of knowledge and those who establish that knowledge properly, they go away, then the people will fall in misguidance. كَمَا فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ, as is collected in a Sahihain, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال, from the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِلُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ النَّاسِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِلُهُ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فَإِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَ عَالِمٌ اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤَسَاءَ جُهَالًا فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that indeed Allah, he does not remove the knowledge by stripping it from the hearts of the people, but rather he takes the knowledge by taking the scholars, and by taking the lives of the scholars, until there will not remain one scholar. And at this time the people, they will take ignorant leaders, and they will be asked affairs and issues in the religion and in the worldly affairs and that which is related to safety and security in the ummah. And they will give religious verdicts without proper and sound knowledge, and they will go astray and lead others astray. And they will go astray and lead others astray. Shaykhuna Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, hafidhullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this issue here, that rather in our days we see that they didn't even wait for the scholars to go away. They didn't even wait for the scholars to go away. Rather, many people now they're hastening to take as their leaders and as their imams and as their teachers and as their role models and guides the ru'asa al-juhal, ru'usan juhala, ignorant individuals, placing individuals who are ignorant and have no proper education, no proper learning, no proper studies, and taking them as their leaders and asking them about affairs until they give religious verdicts and issues, and they go astray and they mislead the people astray. And this is happening even in our days, while the major scholars, they remain, and while the mashayikh who are upright and known for steadfastness upon the sunnah remain. And while there are noble and trustworthy and reliable students of knowledge remaining, still, along with that, people will turn away from them and go to these fools and these ignorant ones and rely upon them and follow them with false claims and with misunderstandings and misconceptions. And this is all because of a lack of knowledge. All because of a lack of knowledge. They're not able to identify the reality, and therefore it is unclear for them, and they are used and misused. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, so Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, وَذَكَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمٍ رَفْعَ الْعِلْمِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he mentioned the lifting of the knowledge, meaning that the knowledge will be lifted. فَقِيلَ لَهُ كَيْفَ يَذْهَبُ الْعِلْمُ وَقَدْ قَرَأْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَأَقْرَأْنَاهُ نِسَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَنَا. So he was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is the knowledge going to go away? And we have read the Qur'an, and we have read and memorized and studied the Qur'an. And we read it and encourage our women and our children to read it and memorize it likewise. فَقَالَ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, هَذِهِ التَّوْرَاتُ وَالْإِنْجِيلُ عِنْدَ الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصَارَى فَمَاذَا تُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this Torah and the Injil here is in the hands of the Jews and the Christians. And what did it benefit them? Meaning that the leaders from amongst them, the scholars and the people of knowledge from amongst them had deviated. And likewise, those devout worshippers had deviated and had changed those texts and manipulated those texts in order to benefit from that. And they had sold this knowledge for a miserable price. And this is something known about the Jews specifically, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, that they concealed the truth, much of it, and they changed the text. And they added and subtracted to that in order to manipulate the people and to control them and have authority. So it was in their hands, yet they did not carry it right. They did not bear that revelation and legislation properly. Rather, Allah, He mentioned about them that they are like donkeys with books on their backs. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. That they're like donkeys with books on their backs. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Not benefiting from that whatsoever. So possibly the knowledge could be present, or a person, he could carry the knowledge physically, but if he is not sincere with regards to that, then it will not benefit him. This is the point that he's leading to, rahimahullah. He says, فَسُئِلَ عُبَادَةُ بْنُ الصَّامِتْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ فَقَالَ لَوْ شِئْتُ لَأَخْبَرْتُكَ بِأَوَّلِ عِلْمٍ يُرْفَعُ مِنَ النَّاسِ الْخُشُوعِ. So he says that Ubad ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, he was asked about this narration. And he said, if you like, I would inform you of the first aspect of knowledge that will be lifted from the people. And he said, radiallahu anhu, al-khushu', humbleness and humility and sincere trust and reliance and faith. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. This is the first knowledge that will be lifted. So this is the peak of knowledge, the khushu' and the khashya and the fear and submission and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, وَإِنَّمَا قَالَ عُبَادَةُ هَذَا لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ قِسْمَانِ. He says in Ubadah, he only said this here because knowledge is two types. Knowledge is two categories. And he's saying here, لَوْ شِئْتَ لَأَخْبَرْتُكَ بِأَوَّلِ عِلْمٍ يُرْفَعُ مِنَ النَّاسِ الْخُشُوعِ. If you like, I will inform you of the first aspect of knowledge that will be lifted from the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed about this affair, that the knowledge will be lifted. Rather, in the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, which is muttafaqun alayhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ مِنَ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ الْعِلْمِ. And some wordings, أَنْ يَقِلَّ الْعِلْمِ وَيَثْبُتِ الْجَهْلِ وَيَفْشُوَ الْجَهْلِ. That indeed from the signs of the hour is that the knowledge will be lifted. And some wording is that the knowledge will become rare and scarce. And few people will truly carry it. And when we talk about knowledge, we're talking about the knowledge of the legislation and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of the deen, al-ilm al-shar'i. And likewise, the ignorance will become widespread. So this is something that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed of. So now he's clarifying this aspect here. The first knowledge, The first aspect of knowledge to be lifted is al-khushu', that a person, he will be humble and submissive, and he will be in a state of humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance, and he will have khushu'. This is one of those terms that has a broad meaning, and it comes down to humble submission, a humble, willful submission and obedience, inwardly and outwardly. The khushu' is in the heart, and it will be apparent on the body parts and on the limbs, in a person's manner and his conduct. Whenever the khushu' of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the fear and the reverence and the faith, the sincere and true faith and belief in Allah enters the heart, then it will affect the person and change him. This is the first aspect of knowledge that will be lifted. Ibn Rajab, he says, وَإِنَّمَا قَالَ عُبَادَةُ هَذَا لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ قِسْمَانِ. عُبَادَة, he's only mentioning this here because knowledge is from two aspects. Knowledge is two types, two divisions, two categories. It's from two aspects. He says, أَحَدُهُمَا مَا كَانَ ثَمَرَتُهُ فِي قَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ وَهُوَ الْعِلْمُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ الْمُقْتَضِيَةِ لِخَشْيَتِهِ وَمَهَابَتِهِ وَإِجْلَالِهِ وَالْخُضُوعِ لَهِ وَلِمَحَبَّتِهِ وَرَجَائِهِ وَدُعَائِهِ وَالتَّوَكُّلِ عَلَيْهِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ فَهَذَا هُوَ الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعُ كَمَا قَالَ ابْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّ أَقْوَامًا يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُجَاوِزُ تَرَاقِيَهُمْ ولكن إذا وقع في القلب فرسخ فيه نفع. So Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that the first aspect of knowledge is the aspect of knowledge that the fruit of that knowledge is in the heart of a person. Knowledge is from two aspects. The first aspect is that the fruit of that knowledge will enter the heart of that person. And this is the knowledge of Allah the Most High, and of His names and of His attributes, and of hoping in Him, of His names and of His attributes, and of His actions, which will necessitate and require for a person to fear Allah, to revere Allah and to fear Him, and to honor Him and to surrender and to submit before Him. This is the first aspect of knowledge. This is the true knowledge. This is the beneficial knowledge. What is this knowledge? مَا كَانَ ثَمَرَتُهُ فِي قَلْبِ الْإِنسَانِ. The knowledge that its fruit is in the heart of a person. وَهُوَ الْعِلْمُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this is the knowledge of Allah, the Most High. وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ. And the knowledge of His names and His attributes and His actions. And the knowledge of At-Tawheed. The knowledge of Allah is the knowledge of At-Tawheed. And At-Tawheed is two aspects. At-Tawheed al-Ilmi wa At-Tawheed al-Amali. At-Tawheed al-Ilmi is the knowledge of the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His lofty attributes of perfection, and the knowledge of His Lordship and His actions. Tawheed al-Rububiyya wal-Asma'i wa-Sifat. Tawheeday al-Rububiyya wal-Asma'i wa-Sifat. This is included here in the knowledge-based aspect of At-Tawheed, and knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla. And whenever it's correct and proper, it will bring about this, like he's saying here, al-Muqtadiyya. لِخَشْيَتِهِ وَمَهَابَتِهِ وَإِجْلَالِهِ وَالْخُضُوعِ لَهُ. That will necessitate and require and bring about this knowledge of Allah and His names and His attributes and His actions, of His rububiyyah, of His lordship, of His asma'ul husna, wa sifatul uliya. This will bring about for a person to love Allah, to surrender to Allah, to have fear of Allah, to have reverence of Allah, to have respect and honor for Allah and His deen, and to submit and to surrender before Allah in compliance with His body parts. To love Allah, to hope in Him, and to call on Him alone, and put one's faith and trust and reliance upon Him alone, and the likes like this. And then he says, فَهَذَهُ الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعِ. This is the beneficial knowledge. And this is like what Ibn Mas'ud, he said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّ أَقْوَامًا يَقْرَؤُونَ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يُجَاوِزُ تَرَاقِيَهُمْ. That there will be individuals that they recite the Qur'an, it will not go beyond their throats. Meaning it will not reach their minds so that they comprehend and understand properly, and it will not go into their hearts until they have the correct faith and belief. Rather, it's something that they recite on the tongue. This is the benefit that they have. The recitation is on the tongue. It doesn't go in the heart. And if it doesn't go in the heart, then it cannot be comprehended properly in the mind. A person, he will not truly understand. and benefit from the Qur'an until it sinks in his heart and he reflects with his mind. And he will not truly be able to have the true understanding until it's in his heart. And this is the purpose for the revelation of the Qur'an, to reflect and to ponder over it. To reflect and to ponder over it. So this is the beneficial knowledge. He says, وَلَكِنْ إِذَا وَقَعَ فِي الْقَلْبِ فَرَسَخَ فِيهِ وَلَكِنْ إِذَا وَقَعَ فِي الْقَلْبِ فَرَسَخَ فِيهِ نَفَعَ. But the knowledge, if it falls into the heart and then becomes firmly established, it will benefit. The knowledge, if it falls into the heart and then becomes firmly established, it will benefit. And this is so very important for the students of knowledge to realize that the place for the knowledge is in the heart. And the people of knowledge, they say that al-ilmu salatu sir. Al-ilm salat asir. That knowledge, any seeking knowledge, carrying knowledge, studying knowledge, reviewing knowledge, memorizing knowledge, this is the secret salah. This is the secret salah. This is the secret worship. It's between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, this knowledge is of the highest, the most lofty status. And it's not going to settle and reside except in the most pure and noble of places. So a person, he has to empty out his heart from these false desires and lusts, the worldly life and the love of status and rank and the love of position and to be praised, which is found in the heart. And these are the things that we're tried with. These are things that we're tried with, to want to be known, to want to be heard, to have status, to want to be praised, to have rank, to want to have position, to want to be liked, to want to have friends, to want to be popular. All of these things are found in the heart. In the nafs al-ammaratun bisu, indeed, the soul is commanding evil. So this is a trial. But for the knowledge to find a place and to reside in the heart of a person, he must strive against his soul to purify his heart from that. To purify his heart from that, so that whenever the knowledge comes, he can accept it wholeheartedly. And he will seek into his heart and benefit. He will seek into his heart and benefit. The heart and the knowledge is like the land and the water. Barakallahu fikum. Whenever the land is tilled properly and it is taken care of, and likewise the proper seeds are planted there, then whenever the water comes, it will produce great benefit. Fruits and vegetables that will benefit itself, the land will benefit the land itself, and likewise others. Like that, it will become beautiful. The land will become beautiful, full of colors and beauty, and a garden of delight in appearance. And likewise, the animals will benefit from that, and the people will benefit from that. So this is the example of the land and the water, the beneficial land, al-balad al-tayyib, the good land. Whenever the water comes, it produces the good fruits. But whenever the land is not tilled properly, or if there are some foul seeds and the likes that are planted in that land, then whenever the water comes, it would only increase it in its evil. It would only increase it in its evil. And sometimes there are seeds and there are plants that are poisonous and that have lots of spikes and thorns and that are harmful for the people. And whenever the water comes to that land, it only increases those thorns in strength and harm and the likes like this. And they grow greater. The weeds increase and the likes, and those plants become stronger. And they're not beneficial, rather they're harmful. So likewise, a person's heart, if it's full of these foul and lowly desires of the worldly life, and then he seeks knowledge on top of that, it will not benefit him, rather it will harm him. It will not benefit him, whether it will harm him. Many times they will increase in arrogance, and they will increase in pride, and they will start to belittle the people, and they will be affected by self-amazement, and then they will look down upon others, and they will begin to manipulate others. All of this is the result of seeking knowledge without a pure intention. That a person, if he's not careful, that knowledge could cause him to transgress the limits. To transgress the limits. So the knowledge is either going to humble a person, and he's going to benefit from that. It will seek in his heart, and it will affect him. Or else it's going to cause him to become arrogant and boastful and to be a tyrant and use the knowledge to his advantage, like the Jews. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the knowledge that is beneficial is the knowledge that goes in the heart. It's the knowledge that goes in the heart. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla from His grace to allow the knowledge to enter our hearts and to benefit and to purify our hearts from the lowly desires and whims, and to make the knowledge a benefit for us and a proof for us and not against us, and to make us from those who benefit from knowledge. I remember the statement, I mentioned it more than one time in the likes of our gatherings, what is mentioned about Fudayl ibn Iyadh, rahimahullah. I forget who mentioned that now. It may be Ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah. But anyways, it's mentioned about Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. He's from the Atba' al-Tabi'in. He died in 187, from the most pious of the ummah, from the best of his time in piety and righteousness and nobility. Rahimahullah ta'ala. It's mentioned about him that كان الفضيل ممن نفعه علمه. كان الفضيل ممن نفعه علمه. This is what they said about him after he passed. That Fudayl, he was from those people whom their knowledge benefited. This is amazing, a statement to reflect upon. He is from those people whom their knowledge benefited them. Because there's so many people whom their knowledge did not benefit them. Whom their knowledge did not benefit them. Until this day, their knowledge does not benefit them. What do you have to billah, whether it's a proof against them? So Fudayl, he was from those people who they benefited from knowledge. Likewise, I remember now as well, we mentioned in the previous class about Al-Imam Malik, when we're discussing the issue of showing preference to the obligations and the actions that are more virtuous over actions that are lesser, whenever there's competition between the two. And I was mentioning that the one who was with Al-Imam Malik was Abdullah ibn Aun. And I felt like when I'm mentioning that possibly that was an error. It's Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Misri. This is the one I was referring to. He's the one who died in 197. He was the one who learned from Imam Malik. As for Abdullah ibn Aun, he's from the Tabi'in. He's from the generations before that and before Imam Malik. So that was an error. We correct that. Bi'idhnillah, when I refer to that issue, it's Abdullah ibn Wahab al-Misri, well-known scholar of hadith. He died in the year 197. Rahimahullah. So now the author, he says, وَقَالَ الْحَسَنُ الْعِلْمُ عِلْمَانِ الْحَسَنُ يعني الْحَسَنُ الْبَصْرِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. He died in the year 110 from the Tabi'in, rather from the best of them likewise. رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ الْعِلْمُ عِلْمَانِ. That knowledge is two types. Knowledge is two types. So Ibn Rajab, he mentioned this for us. Rahimahullah ta'ala. And he mentioned one aspect of that. And now he's mentioning a narration. Ibn Rajab, he died in 795. So now he's taking this back and verifying that this is something that he has learned from a Salaf al-Salih. And this is also a clarification of the beautiful manhaj, that one he will follow in methodology. That these issues that we discuss, they go back to the Salaf al-Salih. The understandings that we have about the religion, they go back to the scholars of hadith from those best generations, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, Atba' Tabi'in, and the likes like this. And that's why it's so important to be connected with the scholars on that chain. Because so long as you are connected with the scholars and the students who are upright on that chain, you have a link back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have a link back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whenever a person, he gets away from that chain and he starts following the misguided people of knowledge, or the deviant people of knowledge, or the people of fitna who pretend to be from the people of knowledge, so on and so forth, then he gets cut from that chain. And thus he will find himself in the wilderness of misguidance, and he will be taken advantage of and used in that manner and harmed in that darkness. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَقَالَ الْحَسَنُ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهُ الْعِلْمُ عِلْمَانِ. Knowledge is two types. عِلْمٌ عَلَى اللِّسَانِ فَذَاكَ حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى ابْنِ آدَمَ وَعِلْمٌ فِي الْقَلْبِ فَذَاكَ الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعُ. So the knowledge is two types. He says knowledge on the tongue, and this is the proof of Allah against the son of Adam. And knowledge which is in the heart, and this is the beneficial knowledge. And this is the beneficial knowledge. He says, Rahimahullah, Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab, continuing this topic, وَالْقِسْمُ الثَّانِي. And the second aspect of knowledge, الْعِلْمُ الَّذِي عَلَى الْلِسَانِ. The knowledge that is simply on the tongue. Like we say here in America, lip service. Lip service. Likewise, we say as well to those people, if you talk about it, you have to be about it. Talk about it, be about it. You talk about piety and righteousness and strive against your soul to be pious and righteous. You talk about holding fast to the sunnah and the methodology of the salaf, then strive against your soul to hold fast to the sunnah and the methodology of the salaf. Learn those principles and foundations and follow them and hold fast to them and do not oppose them or contradict them for nothing. For nothing. For nothing. This is what is required, because knowledge is two types. And also we can say here, هناك فرق بين التنظير وبين التطبيق. There is a difference between theory and application. So somebody who has the knowledge is simply on his tongue. He realizes and understands it in theory, but it will not truly benefit him until he applies it in his life and he puts it into application. Until he applies it in his life and puts it into application. So there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between the two, between the knowledge that's on the tongue and the knowledge that's in the heart, between the knowledge that's in theory and the knowledge that is applied in one's life. Because if it goes into the heart, one, he will prefer that and apply it in his life. But if it does not go into his heart, it will simply be theories, principles, and ideas in his mind. But if his whims and desires prohibit him from applying that, then he will not benefit. Rather, the knowledge will be a proof against him. Like he says here, Rahimahullah, wa huwa hujjatullahi kama fil hadith. And this is the proof of Allah, like as is in the narration. And if the knowledge on the tongue, this is the proof of Allah. Any meaning against that person, like as in the narration, Al-Qur'anu hujjatun laka aw alayka. Like in the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the Qur'an is a proof for you or against you. فَأَوَّلُ مَا يُرْفَعُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ الْعِلْمُ النَّافِعُ وَالْعِلْمُ الْبَاطِنُ الَّذِي يُخَالِطُ الْقُلُوبَ وَيُصْلِحُهَا وَيَبْقَى عِلْمُ اللِّسَانِ حُجَّةً فَيَتَهَاوَنُ النَّاسُ بِهِ وَلَا يَعْمَلُونَ بِمُقْتَضَاهُ لَا حَمَلَتُهُ وَلَا غَيْرُهُ ثُمَّ يَذْهَبُ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ بِذَهَابِ حَمَلَتِهِ فَلَا يَبْقَى إِلَّا الْقُرْآنُ فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ وَلَيْسَ ثَمَّ مَنْ يَعْلَمُ مَعَانِيَهُ وَلَا حُدُودَهُ وَلَا أَحْكَامَهُ. He says, Rahimahullah, that the first knowledge to be lifted, the first aspect of that which will be lifted from the knowledge, the first aspect of that which will be lifted from the knowledge is the beneficial knowledge. It's the beneficial knowledge, and that is the knowledge, that is the inner knowledge, meaning the knowledge that mixes and goes into the hearts and rectifies them. And nothing will remain except for the knowledge of the tongue, remaining as a proof against the people. So at this time, the people, they will start to be negligent. They'll start to be negligent and heedless with regards to that knowledge, and they will not apply that which that knowledge requires and necessitates. And they will not apply that which that knowledge requires and necessitates. And he says, not those who carry the knowledge or other than them. And he will come to this extent where even the people of knowledge, they will not carry the knowledge properly. They will not apply it in the manner required as well. And then at this time, the knowledge will go away by the carriers of knowledge going away. And he being dying off. And nothing will remain except for the Quran and the scriptures. And there will remain no one who knows its meanings and not its limits nor its rulings. He says, ثُمَّ يَسْرِ بِهِ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ فَلَا يَبْقَى فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ وَلَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ مِنْهُ شَيْءٌ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ. And then in the end of time, the Quran will go away entirely, and it will not remain, not in the masahif, not in the scriptures, and not in the hearts. Nothing will remain from it whatsoever. The knowledge will be lifted entirely. The knowledge will be lifted entirely. وَبَعْدَ ذَلِكَ تَكُمُ السَّاعَةِ. And after this, the hour will be established. After this, the hour will be established. Allahu Akbar. When will the hour be established? When the knowledge is lifted entirely. It does not remain, not in the books and not in the hearts. Not until then will the hour be established. What do we know about whom the hour will be established upon? لَا تَكُمُ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا عَلَى Ashrar al-Khalq, the worst of mankind. The hour will not be established except upon the worst of mankind. حتى لا يقالوا في الأرض الله الله. And no one will say, اتقي الله, fear Allah, oh Allah. No one will call on the name, call on Allah whatsoever. It will not be established except on the worst of mankind. Except on the worst of mankind, the most evil and wicked of all of mankind. At this time, the hour will be established. So when will they arrive? After the knowledge, you're tying it together. So this is showing us the virtue of knowledge. This is the chapter that we're studying. فَالْضُرُ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. The virtue of seeking knowledge. The virtue of seeking knowledge. And so many virtues in seeking knowledge from it is this affair. That a person, he will not be from those people. And that a person, he will be able to identify the likes of those people in the times that's coming. And likewise, he will be a means to carry that knowledge and to defend that knowledge and to protect that knowledge and to apply that knowledge and to spread that knowledge, and a means for that evil to not come. Any of the people of knowledge, the students of knowledge, they're standing in the face of misguidance. They're standing in the face of desires and whims. They're standing in the face of innovation and disbelievers. They're the ones at their front lines, putting their reputations and their life on the line to defend the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're carrying it on. It's from their efforts that the religion passed down. It's from the efforts of the previous scholars that the knowledge reached us. So therefore it's upon us to learn and to carry that knowledge to those after us. And for them to carry that knowledge. And like this in every generation and every century, Allah Azza wa Jalla has selected men to carry that knowledge, to defend that knowledge, to protect that knowledge, and to spread that knowledge and to keep the chain back to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, continuing, and to keep the goodness in the land and the guidance in the land. So therefore it's great benefits for those who are sincere, setting out on a path to seek knowledge. Setting out on a path to seek knowledge. He says, كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَكُمُ السَّعَةُ إِلَّا عَلَى شِرَارِ النَّاسِ. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the hour will not be established except on the worst of all mankind. وَقَالَ لَا تَكُمُ السَّعَةُ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ أَحَدٌ يَقُولُ اللَّهَ اللَّهُ. And the hour will not be established until and the hour not be established until in the earth there was no one saying, or while in the earth there was someone saying, Allah, Allah, yani fear Allah, oh Allah, help us, oh Allah, guide us. And he calling on Allah and ordering the people to fear Allah. And the hour will not be established so long as there is someone who believes in Allah and calling on him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will be upon the worst of mankind that the hour is established. And the worst of mankind, they are the people who have no knowledge. They're the people who have no knowledge of Allah. And they have no knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have no knowledge of al-Islam. They have no knowledge of the halal and the haram. They have no knowledge of the awamir and the nawahi. They have no knowledge of this affair. And therefore, in this manner, they become from the worst of mankind. Because in this life, we have two major issues. And that is al-huda wal-hawa. Al-huda wal-hawa. There's guidance. There's guidance that was revealed to the prophets and messengers. And the last and the best of that is to the final prophet and messenger, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was given the best guidance and sent amongst the best ummah. He was given the best guidance and sent amongst the best ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there's hawa. There's desires. And these are an absolute contradiction. These are an absolute contradiction. The guidance and the hawa, and this is the trial and the test. Allah, He says, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. Be steadfast and upright in obedience as you have been commanded, and do not follow their desires. Do not follow the desires of the people. So this is from the benefits mentioned here in this particular issue. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, this is what he had mentioned in this work with regards to this narration. In our previous class, we were reviewing the narrations that have been mentioned so far in this text that we're studying, the summarization or the abridgment of the obligation of seeking knowledge. We mentioned that there are three narrations. Who are the narrators of those narrations, and what books are they found in? The first narration was the narration of Abu Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, Ahsant, radiallahu anhum. The second narration was the narration of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhum. The third narration is the narration of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. The first one is Mutafiqun alayhi, the second one is in Ibn Majah, and the third one is in Sahih Muslim. It's important to mention the references. It's important to mention the references. This is from the amana, al-ilmiya. This is from the trust in conveying the knowledge, especially the knowledge of hadith, so that a person can. Because whenever a person hears that this is the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happens? Somebody says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this or said that. What do? You start to listen. Then if somebody says that narration is muttafaqun alayhi. Now what do? Huh? But before you might be thinking, is it authentic? Is it now? Whenever he says it's muttafaqun alayhi, now what happens? Your heart becomes ease. You increase in faith. You increase in faith. Your faith increases in your belief. Oh, now this is truly the statement. Now you find ease in this narration. And you find contentment in knowing that the description of this text to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is authentic. So now you're ready to listen and believe and apply. So this is a benefit by mentioning these affairs. And likewise to clarify that this is where it's found. So for those who want to go look, he knows where to look now, making it easy for them. Previously in the early generations, they narrate by chain. But after the narrations have been collected, now we refer the narrations back to their references, and the books that they're collected in. And it's so important to know about those books, and to love those books, and to love those who authored those books, and those who clarify those works and the likes like this, because this is the deen of Allah. Al-Islamu huwa sunnah, wa sunnatu hiya al-Islam. The reality of al-Islam is the sunnah, and the reality of the sunnah is that it is al-Islam. And the sunnah is collected in these works here, the books of hadith, by the scholars of hadith. They're the ones who gave an-nafs wa-nafis, their life and the every most precious and valuable thing to them, their very life and their breath, to collect and to verify and to check and to spread this sunnah and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very beneficial for a person to hear this. This is in Sunan Abi Dawood. This is in At-Tirmidhi. It's been authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani, for example, or by some of the noble scholars. It's been declared authentic and it's collected in these books that are reliable and that we trust, and the likes like this. And this is also reminding the people of those books and of those authors, and keeping that connection close and strong. Because also from the ways of the deviant is to take the people away from the sunnah, to cause them to have doubts about Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the books of hadith, to cause them to have doubts about the narrations and the likes like this. And this is going back to the same point, taking the Muslims away from the scholars. Today there's people finding fault with Bukhari, the book of Bukhari, and causing doubts, placing doubts. This is the same point, taking the people away from the scholars, because after that they can do whatever they want with them. Waliyadhu billah, misleading the people. In this chapter, there are a few more benefits that we will discuss, inshallah, before moving to the next chapter and studying it in a similar manner. Inshallah, in our class tomorrow, we begin in the statement of the author, يَعْلَمْ وَعْلَمْ رَحِيمَكَ اللَّهِ أَنَّ مِنْ طُلَابِ الْعِلْمِ أُنَاسٍ لَهُمْ أُقُودٌ مُؤَيِّدَةٌ وَآدَابٌ جَمِيلَةٌ وَفُهُومٌ حَسَنَةٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يُحْيُوا سُنَنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَسُنَنَ أَصْحَابِهِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَيُمِيتُوا الْبِدَعَةَ. Know, may Allah have mercy on you, that from the students of knowledge there are people who have supported strong intellects and beautiful manners and good understanding. They love to revive the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They love to revive the sunnah, the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way of his companions radiyallahu anhum, and they love to do away with innovation. And he mentioning some of those affairs in the hearts of those people who have truly set out sincerely and truthfully seeking knowledge, on a path seeking knowledge. So while we wait for the iqama, we can review, and if there's any comments, corrections, or suggestions, comments, questions, or corrections, we can take them, inshallah. So we talked about those three narrations. Who can recite for us the narration of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? Somebody, you recited yesterday, huh? Somebody else. Abu Ali. Ahsanta. Naam. Somebody else over here. You saying? Man yuridillah? Khayran? Yufaqqihu? Ahsanta. Allahumma barik. The second narration. The narration of Anas radiallahu anha. Fariilatun, ahsanta. Talabul ilmi, fariilatun ala kulli muslim. Muhammad. Talabul ilmi, ahsanta. Allahumma barik. Shaykh Jamal. Talabul ilmi, fariilatun ala kulli muslim. By yourself. Fariilatun ala kulli muslim. One more time. طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. By yourself. على أحسنت ها شيخ منير طلب علمي فريضة على كل مسلم ما شاء الله the third narration إبراهيم أحسنت اللهم بارك somebody was supposed to recite for today where's he at Muhammad he's back he's not here he's busy Alhamdulillah طيب who can recite the whole narration of Abu Huraira for us من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة من يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة ومن ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة وما كان الله في عون العبد والله في عون العبد والله في عون العبد ما كان العبد في عون أخيه نعم before that ومن سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة وما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله وتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده ومن بطأ به عمله لم يسرع به نسبه الله أكبر This is an amazing narration This is hadith number 36 from the 40 hadith of النووي رحمه الله تعالى نعم Any questions, comments, corrections? Yes. فريضة على كل أحسنت طالب العلم فريضة you finished the class yesterday you finish it today جزاك الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم